To Radio Bristol, 10 minutes past ten now. Just a moment, we'll be chatting with our guest this morning, William Rodriguez, who was the caretaker, the janitor, in the North Tower on 9/11 when the Twin Towers came down. He was actually in the building when the planes struck. But the story he has to tell is quite a shocking one, really. We'll find out that full story right after this song from Lamar. That song, it's a new one from Lamar, it's called Someone Should Tell You, and I have to tell you, the new album is absolutely fantastic. If you haven't heard it yet, dash out and buy it. It's absolutely brilliant. Now then, I think all of us can probably pretty much remember where we were the day the Twin Towers came down in New York City on 9/11. Now, one man who remembers exactly where he was is William Rodriguez. Now, he was actually in the North Tower as the plane hit. He was decorated no less than 5 times by the White House for his bravery on that day. On the surface, then, another story of bravery and heroism. But think again. William is currently on a European speaking tour telling people his version of what happened on that day. And it may shock you. I started by asking William Rodriguez to take us through exactly what happened on that fateful day.
On 9/11, very early in the morning, I was supposed to be there at work at 8 o'clock in the morning. Right. That day, I came in late. It was a miracle by itself because I would have been killed if I was on my regular position at the World Trade Center. I worked there as a janitor. I worked in the building for 20 years, 20 years of experience there,
right,
as a janitor, as a caretaker of the stairwells of the North Tower. Now, when I was in the building, I was located at the basement. The building has six sub-levels of basement, B1, B2, all the way down to B6. While I was on B1, talking to a supervisor, at 8:46, we hear boom! An explosion so hard that pushed me upwards. It actually lifted me on the air.
Wow.
And everybody started screaming. There were 14 people in the office, all screaming at once. They didn't know what was happening.
What did you think of that moment that happened then?
Very simple. It was an explosion on the mechanical room,
right,
because it was right below us.
Right.
And that's where we have all the pumps and generators.
You thought it was something there?
I'm sure, 100%, that something was happening there.
Right.
Because, again, you know, 20 years in a place, you know, if the explosion comes from the top, from the bottom, or from the sides.
Sure.
And at that very moment, when I went to verbalize it, that I thought it was a generator, all of a sudden we hear another explosion. Bah! But this one was very far, all the way to the top, meaning the plane. So what we have here is two separate events. There was an initial explosion. A lot of people in the world do not know.
No, this is news to me.
Yes.
Okay, so what was that first explosion?
There he goes. That's the question. Huh. And when I went and I started screaming that everybody to be calm, a person comes running into the office saying, explosion, explosion, explosion. A black guy named Felipe David, who I did not know.
Right.
And when I look at him, he had all the skin pulled from under his armpits all the way to the top of the fingertips. It was hanging on both hands. And when I look at his face, he got missing parts of his face. And I start screaming, what happened? What happened? And he said, the lifts, the lifts. Apparently, he was on the B2 level, the basement below me,
right,
and when this huge explosion happened, and he put his hands to cover his face, and that's how his skin got pulled from under
from
his
the
armpits.
Explosion.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
And everybody, when they saw him, they started screaming. I told him, no, don't move, because I was going to pick up the phone and call the emergency medical unit that was located on the South Tower. So when I went to pick up the phone, another explosion, and this one was so hard that it shook the building from side to side. You could hear the actual walls cracking, and the false ceiling, like the one that we have over here, fell right on top of us,
right,
and the sprinkler system got activated. There was water swooshing everywhere, and at that very moment, we thought it was an earthquake at the same time, because the floor was moving below
us. The whole building was moving below
us.
Yes, right.
And I said, don't move, don't move, don't move. I think it's a bomb.
Right.
That's what I said.
Okay.
And nobody wanted to do anything because they were totally disoriented. So I took the lead and I said, everybody follow me. And I took Mr. Felipe David, his hand around my shoulder, took him outside the building. I led them all the way through the loading dock through a hill outside the entrance, the main entrance of the tower. Once we get outside, there's an ambulance running towards us. When the ambulance stops, I put Mr. David inside the ambulance, and for the first time I hear a plane hit the building from a security guard's radio that was standing right next to me.
Okay.
So I turn around, I look at the hole, I saw the fire, and all of a sudden I say, oh my God, the people from Windows, meaning the people from Windows of the World. That was so the restaurant that
restaurant
was located.
I've been to it many occasions, yeah.
Oh, well, you were there, so you understand how tall the building was. And I said, we got to go back. And even my supervisor that I just pulled out from the basement was screaming at me, no, Rodriguez, just stay here. You're not going back in. I said, no, we're going in. We're going in. Those are workers there. And I was thinking about my friends because I started always cleaning. My cleaning routine of the stairwell was all the way from the top to the bottom.
Okay.
And I will have breakfast for free every day at Windows of the World. So
right,
those people that died, those 67 people that died at the kitchen, they were all my
you
friends.
Them. Right.
Yes. So I said, we got to go in. Nobody wanted to go in.
Okay.
So I started going by myself. I run inside the building, through the hill, and get to the South Tower. There was two people there. I told them to get out. And there was something called the OCC, the Operation Control Center, that was actually built after the 1993 bombing at a cost of $150 million.
Right.
And that controlled the whole thing of emergency. Okay. And I just wanted to let them know that I had an injured person outside. There was nobody there.
After spending all that money, there was nobody
there.
Yes,
there was nobody there.
Right.
So, and I saw a lady that worked for the Marriott Hotel, the employee's entrance, as a security guard. And I said, you got to get out. And she said, I can't get out. I said, why? He said, because I'm a new employee and I don't want to get fired. You see the ignorance of not knowing what's going on.
Can I just take you back for a moment? Because you've described three explosions.
Correct.
So looking back, what were those three explosions then to your mind? The first one is obviously a bit of a mystery. We'll come to that in a second.
Correct.
But the second two, were they both the planes crashing or what?
No, no. The first one was the explosion on the base, right?
And what do you think that was then, looking back?
I testified for the 9/11 commission, commission that was created, and I was one of the persons that was behind of the creation of the 9/11 commission. That's why we go against the official story, because the 9/11 commission did not investigate any of these. We made available 22 firemen. They didn't call not even one of them.
But you know what I find extraordinary about this? I've watched hundreds of documentaries on TV about 9/11. Uh-huh. I watched it on the day. I've never heard about this other explosion.
And it's been told, I mean, when I was pulled from the rubble on 9/11. Mm. Pulled from the rubble. And the first thing, when I was pulled from the rubble, I spoke to CNN all over the world, to Global Vision from Brazil, all over the world. And then it was picked by every station, where I'm actually talking about the explosions there.
So again, going back to the question, what was that first explosion, do you think?
I think that was explosive that was set up on the basement as an accelerator to actually bring the towers down. We don't believe the people that were there,
right,
the survivors, that the building were brought down by
the planes. Because that's the other question I was going to say to you. That, and I know you went on to rescue a lot of people, and that's amazing. The other interesting thing about this, though, is that a lot of people, I think, were shocked. Obviously, they were shocked when initially it happened, but they were also shocked that the buildings actually came down, because I don't think anybody expected that. As I said, I've been to those towers three or four times over the years. I've stood on the very top of one.
Where were
of them.
You when you saw this event happening? Where were you?
I was on holiday in Ibiza, actually. I watched it on television as it unfolded.
And what did you thought about what was happening at that time, the buildings collapsed?
Well, first of all, when the plane hit, I thought, oh my God, this is the beginning of World War III, because this is really serious stuff. When the buildings collapsed, I was flabbergasted. I did not expect that to happen. We could see how serious the crash was, but no way did I expect the buildings would come down.
Nobody else did, to the best experts and actual architects from the World Trade Center, because we are on the same board.
Right.
Up to date, we are on the same board.
Right.
And they have told me privately, listen, we never expect that to happen, and we don't believe.
So what you believe then is that somebody planted a bomb in the basement?
I planted explosive. I'm not an expert on explosives.
Sure.
I was a janitor.
Okay.
But, you know, if you smell like a bomb, you felt this other explosion. Exactly. I told them about the smell. I told them about the people that I pulled from the rubble.
Right.
Remember, 15 people survived when I pulled them out. Then when I went back, those two other people, and then I went to the North Tower, right, because the North and the South Tower connected through the basement.
Right.
I went running to the North Tower. I found only one person that worked for the recycling company who was killed, that is screaming. I hear screams, but I couldn't hear anything.
So were there other people then who also witnessed this explosion in the basement?
They're still available.
So
they survived.
That's
an incredible thing. These people survived with burns, with minor injuries.
Mm.
And, minor injuries, because Felipe David was burned 33% of his body.
Right.
But he survived. They didn't expect him to survive.
I mean, since 9/11, there have been a number of conspiracy theories, as there always are.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I love what you are saying, for the simple reason that I want to clarify something. I agree that there's many conspiracy theories, but on my case, I am an eyewitness. Well, I was there.
That's the point I was going to go on to make. There's been a lot of, of these around. Some of them are maybe plausible. Some of them you think, well, no, that's maybe going a bit too far. You were there, though. You witnessed it personally. What do you think was behind this, then? Do you think that this was partly deliberate? Do you think that it was that someone was allowed to do this, or what?
Yes, definitely. I believe it was deliberate. I think it was pre-planned. And I think not only that it was pre-planned, but at the same time, that criminal minds within our own government were involved in this pre-planned process.
So you think the American government were involved
definitely,
in the bombing of the
definitely.
World Trade Center?
I'm going to explain to you why. And
okay,
I'm talking to you as a national hero of the United States, okay. Recognized by the government as as that, but at the same time...
We mentioned you were honored five times at the White House.
Yeah.
So, you can't get much better than that.
Yeah, and at the same time, I was prepared by the Republican Party to run for office.
Right.
They sent me to the governing institute to run for office. And I felt that I was being bought one way or the other. I was part of the whole game. And not only the photo opportunity, not only the celebrity trying to use me for fundraisings.
As a hero. But did they ever at any point say to you, don't talk about the first?
Yes, there it goes. When I started asking questions, and I started saying, but wait, hold on, nobody's... I noticed that, I was not an expert on media. And when I saw that in the very beginning, they put my story unedited, and then within a week, everything was totally filtered down, I said, wait, hold on. Maybe it's because you have to convey the message within 1 minute or two.
Right.
And so maybe that's the editing process. But then I realized I was being told not to talk about those things, not to actually mess the waters because it was an investigation, they told me.
So did the American media, did they not pick up on this third explosion? Did they not want to investigate it?
They did not pick up on it. They really presented from the very beginning, but they did not pick up on it because they were so busy concentrated on doing stories, the human story, of the firemen and of the Port Authority police officers that died on there, that, their concentration was on the heroes, on the events.
Okay. Now, there may be people listening who will say, okay, we can accept the idea that perhaps there was a bomb in the basement and someone put it there. But the leap between that and the American government being involved,
Now I go.
What would you say to people who doubt that?
Well, once I was named with that title, I became the leader of the families and the victims and those affected.
Right.
So I started, we said, what am I going to do with this? I don't eat with this. I don't pay my rent with this. Well, I'm going to use it to ask for a formal investigation.
Right.
So six family members and we went to Congress and we asked for a formal investigation. Now, you remember that the president of the United States at that time said, we don't need an investigation because we know who did it.
Yeah.
And that was the slap in the face to the family. They said, no, hold on. If you lose somebody, a family member, you have the right to know exactly the details, how that person died and what led them to that moment. So we press and they agree. After so much bad publicity, I became very angry, so I will put all the mothers and the widows on every television program asking angrily for an investigation, and we were able to get it. But then they did not allow one of the simple requests that we have, to have a family member to represent our interest on the commission.
They wouldn't let you do that?
No, they won't. They wouldn't. Oh. They said no, and they never allowed it. So that's when we started, distrusting the government.
So what did they come out with in the end?
They came out with a final report, was that the building got hit by 19 Arab hijackers, that it fell down because of the heat of the fire, and because it melted the columns, and that's basically my testimony, I was one of the last person to testify behind closed doors for the commission.
Right.
They didn't want me to testify on the public hearings that were televised.
That's interesting.
But
again, why haven't the American media picked up on your story, or have they?
Well, I think we have a problem here of the control media in the United States. Totally control. They are not putting out the information. They don't want this information to be available. It will create a lot of national problems. We have seen it. There's a political agenda that they have used 9/11 for everything.
So you think that 9/11 was used because for the Iraqi war, for everything that followed?
Well, you may remember also, and people have a very short span memory when it comes to political events. And at the very beginning, when they were fighting to try to get into Iraq, they said because of the connection between Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein, because 9/11. And they tried to, they connected with me to try to get family members to come out publicly on a national level to do public service announcements to call for the war on Iraq. They contact me.
It's quite scary.
And when I said, no, it doesn't have to do with 9/11.
Right.
But you know what? It was it was insignificant, our position to them, because they went away and they said, okay, we don't have the family support, so then we go with the weapons of mass destruction. And they concentrated on that, even though the message of 9/11 was kept from that very moment on, and in every speech that the president have done since that day is everything because of 9/11, because of 9/11.
Right. Do you believe there was a bomb in both buildings then? Because both buildings came down,
definitely,
didn't they?
Definitely.
Do you think there was one
definitely
in both? And again,
Simply.
Right.
Simply, if you see Building 7 was located within the perimeter of the 16 acres of the World Trade Center, that was the last building to fall.
Because actually a third building came down as well, didn't
correct
it? Which again,
correct,
people don't realize.
Correct. People don't realize that that building was never hit by a plane, never had a huge fire, and collapsed exactly the same as the North Tower and the South Tower. Now, no building in the history of a steel frame building have ever collapsed because of a fire. You have the Madrid Windsor Hotel.
But then we've never seen a jet crash at that speed into a large...
Correct. A jet going at 427 miles per hour, but the fuel, the diesel fuel, will burn at 1,600 degrees, not at 2,600 like they said.
Right.
And
so do you think, no, that ultimately those people in the Twin Towers were murdered by the American government? Is that what you're saying?
I think they have been involved from the very beginning to allow this to happen and make it happen. And if they made it happen or allowed it to happen, it's the same thing.
Hmm. So do you think the people who crashed those planes were genuine terrorists, though?
No, I don't.
I don't even think they were.
Because, it's not that they were taking
lessons, wasn't
well,
it?
What I'm saying, not that they were genuine terrorists or not. I'm saying that I believe these people were handled by our own intelligence to do this thing.
Right.
That's
so
what
you think this conspiracy goes all the way through?
Yeah, because, for example, I did a national television show 2 months ago. You've never seen the director of NORAD or the director of the Pentagon giving interviews ever, no. ever. But for Spanish television, they did it with me. Of course, they're taking their position, but they would never do it on Anglo media because, it's too powerful.
So do you think then, obviously, you want to get this message out because obviously you were there, you feel strongly about
yes
this.
Well, the reason is because we are survivors, we are affected, and we represent the families, and we want the world to know that we do not agree with the political agenda, international agenda. This war on terrorism is based on 9/11, and right, it doesn't have to do with 9/11. We still don't have the answers on what happened on that day. We still, 5 years after, we're still suffering the backlash of what happened. And the most powerful nation in the world apparently fell on every level, national, military, in avionics on that day. You're going to tell me that they couldn't intercept this plane for over an hour and a half? It is impossible right now.
I suspect that this is a discussion that will go on for many years to come, actually, but we'll see what happens. William, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you for being with us.
An honor. Thank you.
Thank you. William Rodriguez there, who came into our studios live last week to record that interview with me, he's an interesting man. What do you make of that then? We're going to open up the phone lines between now and 11 and ask, was there a conspiracy with 9/11? Do you believe that there was more to it than meets the eye? Or do you believe it's dead easy to make up any kind of conspiracy theory about anything and the whole thing's a load of nonsense? He was there, of course. He experienced it firsthand, and to my mind, in many ways, a very credible witness to what happened. But did he get it wrong? What do you think? Phone lines are open. 0845 905 955. Text the Dave Barrett Show at bbc.co.uk. The phone lines are open right now. We'd like your views on 9/11. Was it a set-up job, or was it, as many people believe, a genuine hijack and terrorist attack on America? Your thoughts. Phone lines open now. 0845 905 955 or email the Dave Barrett Show at bbc.co.uk.
I hate to admit it, but if you're as disorganised as me, Christmas really is just around the corner. So if you're stuck for present ideas, we're giving away a great stocking filler each and every morning between now and the big day.
Well, that's a CD gone to Peter in Almondsbury then. Well done on the text.
Lovely, that's and great. This is the first time I've phoned in.
Throw in the trucker track, a first look at the roads, the weather and the morning's papers, and you have the perfect way to kick off your day. That's the Good Morning Programme with me, Ben Clifton, each weekday at 5.
Oh, Call Dave Barrett now on 0845 900 5955.
Email the Dave Barrett Show at bbc.co.uk.
BBC Radio Bristol.
So we'd like your thoughts and views on 9/11. I guess you can remember where you were. I remember where I was, as I said in that interview, when I was chatting with William. I was on holiday when I watched, in quite terror, really, those planes crashing into the buildings. And I had to fly the next day as well, which made it particularly scary. What do you think, though? Do you give any credence to what William describes as what he says happened on that day? He was, after all, there. He experienced it. He believes that it was a set-up job, that it was all to do with persuading the American people that they should go to war against Iraq and in Afghanistan as well. The whole lot all tied in, he thinks. Is that too easy a conspiracy theory for you? Do you not believe that? Do you think the two really aren't connected? And you find it difficult to believe that a government would kill its own people, which is, of course, what he is suggesting. Or do you think it has a lot of credence? Have you always been very suspicious of what happened on 9/11 and the way those planes crashed into that building? There are still quite a few unanswered questions, it has to be said. Your views, 0845 905 955, or email the Dave Barrett Show at bbc.co.uk. We'd love to hear from you this morning. So we're asking you for your views on 9/11 and the conspiracy theories that surround it. We were just hearing there from William Rodriguez, who was a janitor who worked in that North Tower, was there on the day the planes hit, and very firmly believes that there was an explosion in the basement of the building before the planes hit. He thinks there is a huge conspiracy theory surrounding the whole 9/11 thing, and the government were complacent in the death of those people. What do you think? John's on the line. Morning, John. What are your thoughts about it?
Yeah, did you see a Channel 4 programme, Dave, The Man Who Predicted 9/11?
I'm not sure whether I did or not.
Well, it was the head of security at Morgan Stanley, Dean Witter,
right,
based in the South Tower.
Okay.
The head of security was a chap called Rick Rascola.
Yeah.
I went to school with that guy in Cornwall. He was a Cornishman.
Gosh.
And he became head of security, and he was very pro-American.
Right.
When I knew him as a boy, and okay, we used to sail our boats together. And he joined the American Army and served in Vietnam, mm-hmm, went through all that. And he was head of security. Now, in 1993, there was a terrorist attack on the South Tower.
This was in the basement, where they put a car
right.
bomb, didn't they?
Yeah. And he called his friend in, who was called Dan Hill,
yeah,
who was also with him in Vietnam. And Dan Hill decided with Rick Rascola,
yeah,
that the basement was a vulnerable area, and they secured it
right.
against attack.
Okay.
Now, eventually, Dan Hill said, well, we've secured the basements. I don't know whether they did it in the North Tower, because they're obviously independent.
Right.
And it was all controlled by the New York Port Authority anyway.
Right.
But they secured that basement in the South Tower. The planes came in. Now, you know, all this is before the Iraq War, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I just find it. I mean, I'm not doubting what the guy has said in the interview,
yeah,
but I cannot believe that an American government would destroy the World Trade Center as an excuse to go into Iraq. I mean, that they don't need that, do they?
Well, they needed the justification to go into Iraq because clearly the weapons of mass destruction thing was a no-go, wasn't it? We knew that, and they probably knew that, although, you know, or maybe they didn't. They claimed they thought there were weapons of mass destruction. Many people were very suspicious of that claim right from the start.
Yeah.
They needed an excuse to do that. Many people would argue that this was the perfect example, because actually there wasn't really a link. Strategically, if you think about it, there wasn't really at all a link between what was happening in Iraq and the terrorists on 9/11. There wasn't really a link between the two, if you look at it logically.
My theory about the Iraq business was that the West needed to get a presence in that area to safeguard supply of oil.
Oh, it was all about oil.
Yeah.
I think most people
now,
think that.
Saddam Hussein, I've always... Well, I know this is a fact. The government of Saudi Arabia, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, are in power because they are playing a double game. They are keeping in with the West, obviously, because they're capitalists, but they are also keeping in with Islam, fundamentalist Islam. Now, that is the condition for staying in power. Now, what they do in Saudi Arabia, they, in fact, all these mosques that are being built all over Europe to spread Islam is being funded by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia in return for being allowed to stay in their position. Now, what I'm coming to, I'm coming to, is that if the fundamentalists ditch Saudi Arabia, which they will eventually, and if they toppled Saddam Hussein and took over Iraq and Iran, the West would have no source of oil. And I believe that it's all very well people come on your phone-ins. I do phone-ins with John. I used to come on quite a bit, been on with you. But the point is, people come on and say it was to for the oil barons to have their money, their capital, their profits. But, I mean, I'd like to say to these people who say that, okay, what if next week, what if that didn't happen? Next week, Mr. Blair said, right, you're a private car owner, put your car up on blocks, you can't use it anymore. We have only oil sufficient for hospitals, fire services.
But hang on a sec, the argument here is to what lengths would governments go, or not necessarily for governments, could it be above governments go to secure that? Now, if we're prepared to send troops out there to die for oil, as some people would argue, then is it one step further to suggest we blow up a building and kill people for it?
Well, we have to have a presence there. That's what I'm trying to say.
I'm not disagreeing with that. All I'm saying is the argument about conspiracy theories regarding 9/11 is the way that here we had some hijackers who crashed into a building, really didn't have anything to do with what was happening in Iraq as such, but the two were very quickly linked together and used as a way of doing a whole bunch of different things.
You know.
And that's why I think a lot of people were suspicious.
Well, I listened to this interview that you just did with this chap, and I'm staggered by it. You know,
well, I was staggered by it. I have to be honest.
Absolutely staggered.
Because we did this face to face. It wasn't down the line from America.
No.
He actually came into the studio. We stood face to face, and I chatted to him, and he seemed to me like a very genuine and a very credible witness.
Well,
and as I've said all the way through, he was there on the day. He actually was in that tower, and he claims that he heard this explosion under his feet and went down, and his friend was, you know, the flesh was dropping off his friend who'd been injured in this explosion.
Yeah.
This was before the plane hit.
Yeah.
Now, he's either a liar, or what he's saying is the truth, or he's somehow misunderstood what happened.
I think, at the moment, Dave, you know that everything is anti-America, isn't it? You know, and personally,
with some justification, I think.
Well, I've always been pro-American.
But
I grew up with that, as I told, with that guy who was head of security in the South Tower. And the reason he was influenced by the Americans and pro-America, he became pro-American, is because at the same time, in our little town in Cornwall, we had more American soldiers than local people.
We're going to have to move on here, but I just want, John, do you think overall then, listening to that interview, do you find it still hard to believe a conspiracy theory?
As that chap outlined.
Right. Okay, no, that's fine. That's fair enough.
No, I find that very difficult.
All right. I think a lot of people do. But
America are gung-ho, but not that gung-ho.
All right.
Come on.
John, thank you very much for your call. Nice to talk to you this morning. Marie's in Warminster. Marie, hello.
Hey, good morning.
What do you make of that interview?
Excuse me if I'm sounding a bit nasal.
No problem.
I was doing my ironing with the TV on news time sort of thing, catch up to the news and weather and that, because I was going off on holiday the next day, you were flying the next day from Gatwick.
Right.
Now, I'm a pilot's daughter, and I just didn't believe what I was seeing, to be perfectly honest. It wasn't the horror of it. It was just, there was something, I thought, gosh, this is either superimposition or else those are drone planes. So naturally, because I am a natural researcher anyway, I just had to research the whole thing, you know, and I've researched it ever since. Now, most of my information, to come clean with you, comes from the internet.
So some of it could be a bit dodge, then?
Some of it could be dodge. And, you know, superheated. But I have to say that, underlining all that, my question is this. We keep referring to the Twin Towers, but there were three towers that went down on that day.
Indeed, there was.
There was World Trade Center 7, and that was not struck by an airplane.
And I don't believe it was struck by the other two buildings, either, when they came down.
And it wasn't struck by the other two, and I've seen video clips of that time and time again, and I thought...
So why did that come down?
Well, I mean, the thing is... You know, you pose the question, you know, devil's advocate way, obviously, about do governments, do they do things against their own people? Of course they do. Of course they do, and it's something that we as human beings know goes on, and it's something that we're stuck with throughout all the centuries.
Do you know what I find extraordinary about all of this, and not just about this conspiracy theory, but about a lot of conspiracy theories? Yeah, it's easy to make a conspiracy theory. I think we'd all agree with that. But, you know, very often, a lot of information regarding a lot of these things is out there, if you choose to look. And it's very easy for anyone to sit back and poo-poo it all and say, oh, it's all a load of nonsense. But when you start looking at some of the evidence and you start piecing it together, it's not that difficult to find out stuff that makes you really stop in your tracks and think, hang on a sec, something doesn't quite fit here.
Well, I'm interested to know how a plane managed to drop in seconds so many hundreds of feet in order to get down and manoeuvre around to hit directly into the Pentagon and not touch any wires or anything.
Do you know what's quite interesting as well? I passed by Filton, by the big aircraft factory, BAC thing, a couple of days ago. And it reminded me that when I was here last at Radio Bristol, about 7 or 8 years ago, I actually went and test drove the Concorde flight simulator and attempted to fly between the World Trade Center towers and joked on the day, oh, can I crash the plane? And they said, no, don't be silly. But apparently, if you fly a plane even within a few hundred feet of the World Trade Center towers, all the windows would apparently smash anyway, I was told, which is quite interesting.
If you do manoeuvres the way that those planes did manoeuvres, you think you're going to pitch flatter and storm.
Now, what's also interesting, there's a new book out as well that's just come out in America, which is causing a complete storm, and there's video footage of this on the internet. Again, it's on the internet, so you can believe it or you cannot believe it. But this new book is suggesting that very shortly before one of those planes hit the building, first of all, that it looked like there was a piece of military hardware attached to the outside of the plane, which on the pictures on the internet, you can clearly see something rather odd that shouldn't be there. And secondly, there's a flash from the plane when it's about 500 yards away, 500 feet, I beg your pardon, away from the building, suggesting by some people that a missile was actually fired at the building before the plane hit.
Or scalar weapons. We're not talking too much about.
So, there's another conspiracy theory that's been thrown
there's
into the...
There's all sorts of weaponry that's being tested all the time. But as I said... Please, just when I'm talking about this sort of thing, I'm fully aware that whatever weaponry is used or whatever it is, the same mentality and the same men are going to be here next century. You know what I mean? It's just a fault line, if you like, in ourselves, that we have people who are so power hungry, so greedy, that they do this. But I tell you what, I don't know who did it, and I wouldn't blame anybody who did it.
Sure.
Because I don't know one man, one name.
No.
And the thing is this, that, so we are never going to know, so we have to accept that as well. But the interesting thing is that I don't understand why George Bush was Air Force One, why he was not immediately up in Air Force One and going around. Because that, I thought, was their standard procedure, that, aircraft the aircraft stood down.
It was also interesting that William said that they managed to find the identity of those hijackers within 3 days, which kind of seems rather quick to me, but maybe
they
not.
They found all kinds of ident all over the place.
Well, at one point, I was told that they actually found a passport in the rubble, and that's how they identified one of the people, which is, like, taking it really beyond belief, isn't it?
People are talking about these operations like London bombing and things like that, as well as false flag operations. And as I said, they're in every century, so watch out for the next lot.
Well, it's a scary thought, isn't it? Marie, thanks for your call. Peter's in Brislington. Peter, good morning to you.
Hi, Dave.
Yeah, so what do you think about all this?
Well, recently I got a copy of this film called Loose Change.
Right.
It was given to me by a friend, but I believe he got it off, pulled it off the internet, and anybody who wants to see it, you can log on to the internet. I believe you probably need a broadband link to download it.
Okay, what is it exactly?
It's a documentary put together by a guy called Dylan Avery,
right.
I believe. And he's gathered a lot of information together from various media sources.
Yeah.
I believe he's been a bit naughty with regard to copyright.
Okay.
So he's in a bit of trouble there.
Right.
But basically, he's almost proven with his film that... it does appear to be an inside job, the destruction of the Twin Towers.
And how has he proved that in his film? What evidence has he given?
There are some eyewitness accounts. One of the guys who figures prominently is a guy called Professor Stephen Jones.
Right.
He managed to get hold of some of the...
Footage?
The building...
wreckage.
Rubble.
Right, okay.
And he's examined the contents of it and found that it contains this compound called thermalite, which is an explosive that can cut through steel.
Right.
I think the steel that was used in the building, that underwent rigorous testing by the guy who designed the Twin Towers.
Okay.
And so they found this thermalite in there, apparently. If you look at the footage of the newsreel footage,
yeah.
of the Twin Towers coming down,
yeah.
you can actually see that there's the blast wave that comes down. The buildings are coming down almost freefall,
mm-hmm.
on their own footing,
mm-hmm.
just as if the explosions were put in there by a demolition expert. You can actually see the pop, pop, pops blowing out the windows just before the blast wave coming down. If you go back to the phone calls made by some of the firemen that were in the building at the time, they were screaming, saying that there were explosions going off all over the place inside that building.
But that could have been... That doesn't necessarily mean those are explosions that were deliberately set, of course. I mean, if you've got a jet airliner full of fuel that's crashing into a building, the building itself may have flammable materials inside it that could explode. So you could argue that there could be another explanation for that, couldn't you?
That's possible, but as I say, the buildings were designed to withstand a crash from a jet.
Well, nobody thought they would come down. That was the biggest surprise. Everybody assumed, and it was the biggest shock, I think, to everybody, that those two towers came down.
That's right. I mean, they took a little while anyway.
Yeah.
People noticed that actually the molten metal that was coming out was supposedly the steel inside of the
right.
building, it was actually glowing red, and only thermalite could do that, because melting metal shouldn't have been it that colour.
Right. I was saying, go on.
Can I draw your attention to the possible reason for this inside job taking place? There are a couple at least.
Okay.
Back in the year 2000, Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, and Dick Cheney, and a few other guys sat around a table in the White House putting together this plan for the new American century, where they would have to come up with a, quote, new Pearl Harbor to justify... the invasion of other countries.
Says who, though?
Says who?
Yeah.
It's a document that's actually published in the White House.
Okay.
It's available on the internet.
Okay.
I mean, we've got an energy crisis coming up in the world now,
mm-hmm.
and America don't want to be left behind. The American government don't want to be left behind. So they've taken the bull by the horns, I believe. And as I say, this document is published, and it's part of their plan to invade countries, and they have to have reasons to do that.
But, of course, ultimately, the whole thing has gone horribly wrong, hasn't it? Because we know that they didn't have an exit plan for invading Iraq, and I think Donald Rumsfeld has very clearly said that he almost expected the American troops to be welcomed with open arms and everybody to be terribly happy about it, which clearly they're not. And now, I think before long, probably, I mean, I think before long, we're probably going to pull out of Iraq. I'm sure the Americans won't be too far behind, unless they decide to stay to the bitter end. But I suspect that's going to be at a great cost to George Bush when more and more American troops are killed there. But it's a mess. We don't have control of Iraq at all, do we?
That's right.
So it's all been a waste of time.
They reckon it's descending into civil war.
Or worse than, in fact, according to Kofi Annan.
Yeah, I can only see that the only way out at the moment is for an American force and British forces to pull out and all the rest of the countries and just leave NATO in there to try and control things.
So basically, though, you are in favour of a conspiracy theory, then? You think there's something strange going on?
Dave, you need a show longer than this because there's so much evidence now.
Well,
you've got to see that loose change. You've got to get people to see that loose change.
Okay, we are going to return to the subject in the new year, actually, and do it in a bit more detail. So I'm sure you'll join in on that one.
Okay, then, Dave.
Thanks for calling. Thank you very much indeed. It's still time to call us quickly. 0845 905 955. Conspiracy or not, 9/11. What do you think? Give us a call.